Father, I want to thank you for this church and for the way you bless it. And I want to pray, Lord, that you continue to help us to be faulty so that you can be stronger and we will get out of the way. And I want to get out of the way now, Lord. And I'm asking you to take these thoughts that you have put in my mind that we need to hear so that they come out in a powerful way by the Holy Spirit. And it will make a difference in our Christian walk, Lord, and also our service for you. Bless each one and use me in spite of me. And thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now that is quite a carpet. Anybody here know what that is, by the way? This is in Belgium, in Brussels, excuse me. This is in the town square, the central square in Brussels called the Grand Place. Isn't that magnificent? I want you to know that this carpet is 1,900 square feet. Anybody have a house big enough to hold that carpet? By the way, do you know yet what that is? We'll get a little closer. What kind of flower is it? Those are begonias. I want you to look at the painstaking volunteer effort of a group of individuals that in 7 hours assembles over 1 million begonia plants to look like a carpet from the distance. Now, I like begonias, but one of them sitting there may be pretty alone, but when you group them like this, they're gorgeous. But notice the effort it takes in order to make it beautiful. It doesn't just happen by itself. And today I want to share with you a challenge for the Paradise Church members and visitors that beautifully fits this illustration of the personal effort it takes to make something more beautiful than if you didn't show your personal interest. And so, on your marks, get set, go. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Acts, the second chapter, and let's see exactly what this has to do with us here at Paradise. Acts, the second chapter. And now you know what I'm going to say next. Children, do you have your Bibles? Open your Bibles, children, and follow along as we read these scriptures. Let the Spirit of God work on your little hearts and He will reveal His love to you also, not just big people. We want everyone to open your Bibles. And we're going to read verses 37 through 41. This should be very familiar. And we'll see what this has to do with the grand place, the central square of Brussels and their beautiful carpet of begonias. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God calls." On your mark, get set, go. First of all, I want you to know that someone has to be there to answer. For suddenly a huge group of individuals listening to Peter's unprepared and unbeknownst to him sermon at the day of Pentecost, they were so moved by the Holy Spirit's presence that they said, "What must we do? Tell us right now, what must we do? We've got to do something about what we just heard." Imagine if Peter stood there and went, "Ask the pastor." Or he didn't say anything. Somebody has to be there to answer, folks. You know, people everywhere are saying, "What must we do?" And who's out there answering that question for them so that they can know the answer? In fact, take your Bibles again, if you would, and let's look at Romans 10. I want to show you a principle found in Romans 10. Paul penned this to the Romans, to the believers who were there. And look at what he's teaching us about this topic. On your mark, get set, go. Romans, the 10th chapter. We'll start with verse 12, but we could start before that. But we won't. We'll just start at verse 12. And notice carefully what it says here. Okay, everybody have Romans 10, verse 12. Children, you know, Romans is the next book after Acts. Of course, wait, why am I telling the children that? Church school and Pathfinders have taught them the order of the books, and even I don't have that memorized yet. Too confusing for me. Okay, Romans 10. It says, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now let me put something in here for you as we then move through the rest of this beautiful passage. Notice that Paul is saying to them, "Listen, you people, you've got to understand there is no prejudice here." Okay? In fact, this is literally what he's saying when he gets to verse 13. He is saying, in fact, isn't it written in the Scriptures, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved"? That's what he's saying. There's no prejudice. There's no difference between Jew and Greek. Black and white. Big or little. Whatever. Because the Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We've got to let go of any prejudice we may have in our hearts and minds, folks. No matter how it got there. Because I understand that on both sides there's good cause. But when you look at the cross of Calvary, you realize everybody is a son and everybody is a daughter of God. Amen. And then he goes on and he says, "How then shall they call on Him who they have not believed?" And then he says, "And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not" what? "Heard." And then he asks this question, "And how shall they hear without a" what? "Preacher." Point number one. What if there was no one there to answer that question? What if someone in the depressing state of the economy we have today, of broken relationships, of children who've gone awry, of violence and negativity everywhere, is walking along and suddenly thinks, "I need something. There's got to be something else." And they stand there and their words go out into empty space and just reverberate in the hollows of infinity. And no one is there to answer. In fact, Paul, after asking these three incredible questions, says, "And how shall they preach unless they are" what? What? Come on. Sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. And then jump down to 18. But I say that have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth and their words to the end of the world. Wait, I missed my text. Oh, it's 17. I knew I missed my text. This is the summation. So then, faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by what? What if there was no one there to answer that question? Do you see what a travesty this would be? On your mark, get set, go. Number two, I want you to know that Peter was speaking to his own people. Go back to the second chapter of Acts, and you're going to scratch your head just for a second and say, oh, how's this pertinent to on your mark, get set, go, and the beautiful carpet in Belgium. I don't understand this. He's talking to his own people. Okay, I'll tell you. It says, verse 5, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem, what? What?
Jews.
Devout men from every nation under heaven. Who were these people? They were Jews. And not only they were Jews, they were devout men. Why? Because they came to the Feast of Pentecost. He's speaking to his own members. In fact, 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said, men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem. He's speaking to his own people. So in other words, the people he's speaking to have a significant knowledge of the Jewish understanding. And so what did Peter preach about? Christ. Jesus Christ. It's the only thing they knew that they didn't know that keeps them from being baptized. Now I want you to keep this point in your mind. I'm building, but I want you to look at Matthew 28:19, which I think and presume that the majority in this beautiful sanctuary can recite from memory, right? I should ask the choir. Oh no, you all have your Bibles. Okay. Bless the choir. That's why they sing so good. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded to you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. In this great gospel commission, we are told that first we must make disciples of all nations. Again, no prejudice here. So you see, if you're going to get on your mark, and if you're going to get ready, and you're going to go because you sense God is calling, you need to know that somebody has to be there to answer this question, and you need to know that Peter was speaking to his own people. And you know what? We are not going to be speaking to our own people. Now, these are genuine punk rockers. Only this is... I desperately looked on my... In all my sermons I have on my computer, because I have on my computer a much better picture of a couple that Jenny and I pastored in Fallbrook, California, that looked worse than these guys ever thought to look. Who were taken out of love into a Czechoslovakian church, and they patiently endured their transformation. And now if I brought them up for you to see them today, you would not tell the difference between you and them. And they then migrated to Fallbrook, where we had the privilege of ministering to them. And I have a picture of their past, and I couldn't find it. All kinds of markings and piercings besides the hair and the beads and the chains and all the rest of it. So I want you to know that Peter was speaking to his own people. Where am I going with this? I'm going to tell you. Number three. We must disciple these new people. Acts 2, verse 42. Oh, you tell me. What does Acts 2, verse 42 said? Peter got done. They asked the question. He answered it. How many were baptized? 3,000 people were baptized. That's exactly what it says in the Bible. So in response to Peter's sermon that he preached to his own people, who the only bit of information they lacked in order to be a disciple was that Jesus is the Messiah in spite of what the religious leaders were saying. And by the way, notice that these individuals who were baptized, 3,000, had to overcome the history of being taught falsely by the religious leaders who not only publicly accused, denied, and abused Jesus, but ultimately crucified Him. In order to be baptized, they had to go against everything that they had learned. So take a look at this, folks. ...58 pages, front and back, of names from Babylon Rising. Now, on each page, there is... Okay, you mathematicians, are you ready? 58 pages, 46 per page. How many people are we talking about? Yes, somebody said it. I heard it. Oh, you said over 2,000. Sandra, you're two. I round the 58 up to 60. I round the 46 up to 50, and I take 50 times 60, and that is 3,000 people. 3,000 people, many of them don't look like us, don't smell like us, don't talk like us, don't act like us, have no clue about the inner depths of the Bible, in spite of the fact some of them go to church faithfully and love Jesus. And who is going to listen to them? The pastor? I'm so excited. Brothers and sisters, Luke 10:2 says what? Take a look at Luke 10:2, although some of you have guessed it already. What does Luke 10:2 say? Oh, yes. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, we're to pray for what? We're to pray the Lord of the harvest that He sends forth reapers. Folks, that's you and I, not just the pastor. I desperately need your help. We can't let these people slide through the cracks. And then on top of it, that isn't enough. Our group of young people are going door to door selling books and handing out Bible study interest cards. More names are coming. And so, thank you. Amen. But folks, We got to rise to the occasion. And I think the Paradise Church is the one that can do it. I think that God has been preparing all of us for quite a while now for this very moment. And this is no time to drop the ball or fear or be timid, because I want you to know it isn't you and it isn't me. It is the Holy Spirit. Peter stood up and he preached a sermon he never even wrote, because the Holy Spirit inspired him exactly what to say at that moment. And believe me, notice, that means that he didn't know 10 minutes before he stood up. And it takes us to take our first step in the water. And when we do, then the water parts. It will not part until we get in it. I need your help. God wants our help. He could send angels to do this, but you see, you don't need to change their characters. It's your character and my character that needs to be changed. We've got all these names. I didn't even tell you the whole story. I might as well lay it on you. 20% of the people who came didn't sign up. But when they handed out decision cards and the Spirit moved upon them, that means there's going to be more names that is on this list. And brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, as your pastor of almost 3 years now, that you can do it. I know you can do it. That's why you brought us here. I've seen what you've done with all the other things we've tackled, which God has put on our plate, I should say. Imagine if no one's there to answer the question. Imagine if we only go to the good-looking, the well-dressed, the educated, and the refined people to try to win them to Christ. By the way, have you ever tried that? Yeah, okay, I understood that you understood. And we must disciple these new people, and it doesn't matter what they look like. Because that is not their heart, folks. That is their outward appearance. And only the good Lord knows what drives people to do stuff like that, because they don't find the peace and joy and happiness that churches were to have provided. So they're looking everywhere else. But now He has gifted us with this list of people. Number 4. I want you to know there will be challenges. I want you to look at Acts, the 6th chapter. This is the last final point, and I'll bring it to a summation. But I had to add this because the Spirit told me to add it. So that means there's a reason for it. And I don't even necessarily have to know what that reason is, but I think I do. Acts, the 6th chapter. Listen to this. Acts 6, children. Acts 6, verse 1. Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. What is this an example of? We're reading right here in the early Christian church. Prejudice. Oh, those are only the Hellenistic Jews. We are the real Hebrew Jews. Now, we can neglect them. It's no big deal. Problems will arise, folks. And God, please direct us to handle it the way it was handled here in chapter 6. Things will happen. You'll have feelings. But as Christians, we must work through them in a Christ-like way. And then the 12 summons the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, whom we may appoint over this very matter. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the Word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. By the way, every one of those names, what are they? Those are Greek names. Those are not Hebrew Jewish names. Those are Greek names. They gave them responsibility. They said, look, brothers, help us with the service of all the widows. And we're going to give you this job. Work side by side with us as we wait on all the people who need it, while those who are appointed in leadership position can stay in prayer and in Bible study. Brothers and sisters, there will be problems, but we must meet those problems just the way they did in the early church. So what are we going to do now? Number one, we got to pray for these interests. Let me tell you something, folks. In fact, I haven't run this by anybody yet, but here's where my mind is going. You know, every Wednesday is a day of fasting and prayer. Every Wednesday, we invite our church to participate, to fast in some fashion or form, including the possibility of not eating all day, and to come to one of our prayer times we have at the church, 6 o'clock in the morning, or 12 o'clock noon, or 5:30. And I got to thinking, 5:30 is pretty early. I thought, what if we move the prayer time to 6:30? And what if we kicked out prayer meeting? So we pray from 6:30 to 7:30, and we get hundreds of people here praying over these names, and when we're done at 6:30, we go out to our Bible study that God had gifted us from amongst the names that we are going to be given. And by the way, you need to know that more people are coming to prayer. And we have individuals, I could name them, that never say a word, and we're glad they're there. We don't make you pray, but we want your presence because that adds the influence as well as the encouragement to keep doing what we're doing. Praying. And didn't it say that we need to find people of the right sort to take care of these new ones so that the leaders can continue to do what two things? Pray and study their Bible and Bible study. So first of all, pray for these interests. Number two, be patient with these interests. We don't want any cops in the church running around straightening them out if they happen to come to our church to visit. You got that? By the way, this is all common sense. I am doing it for the people on the internet. I guess you didn't get that. That was a nice compliment to all of you. Get to know these interests. Invite them home. Listen to their testimony and be awed. And finally, I'm asking you to come on Thursday night to this very church at 6 o'clock and get a Bible study. At 6 o'clock on Thursday, all the churches who have been trained, the individuals who have been trained to do Bible studies, who came to AFCO, are going to come here on Thursday night, and the brethren from It Is Written is coming, and they are doling out the names from this list. The names that we receive will be in our area zip code unless they're an interest that we already have no matter where they happen to live. We get that name too because we already have an interest going. I want you to come on Thursday. I want you to be part of this because it will change your Christian life. It will. Now, I want all of our AFCO people who went there to stand up at this time, if you would. If you went to AFCO, I want you to stand up. Come on. We had 75 people sign up for this. Where are they? Oh, they're all behind me singing. Now, folks, each one of them need a partner to do a Bible study. Now, imagine this. If we gave Bible study to this group of people, let's say there's 50 standing, what is it, 30 standing? They paired up, that'd be 15 Bible studies. But if some of you came and joined them, that would be 30 Bible studies instead of 15. And since they've already been trained, you can see how they do it, and they'll be actually training you while you're with them in the Bible study. On your mark, get set, go. I want you to seriously consider this challenge this morning. And ask God for yourself if He's not speaking to your heart to do this. So that we won't let those who are saying, "What must I do?" to not hear an answer. Father, I want to pray for those who are standing as well as those who are sitting, because all of us are in this together and everybody plays a part. And I want to thank you for those who have made that commitment. I want to thank you for those who are now considering the commitment. And I want to thank you for the rest who may have other circumstances that keep them, but they're going to pray. And they're going to be nice to these people. And they're even going to maybe invite them over. All of this works together. But Lord, I give you this list. Please, Lord, you know the hearts and minds of each person, almost 3,000 just in my hands alone. And what a powerful, mighty army they could make if we could reach them. If you would lead us to the right persons and we could start the studies with them and we could see them grow and we could experience us grow and we can see the kingdom of Jesus Christ increase. Bless each one now, Lord. Help us to stand up and make a decision that we're going to do something. And you tell each person what you would like them to do. So blessed to this end, and thank you for hearing this prayer. Thank you for inspecting this list, that you will guide us to those folks that you want us to reach, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.